Coming into the second hour of the lighter side of genocide, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the Kiwi collaborator Terminator, it's the Vinny Eastwood Show. And we have a second Kiwi collaborator for today. It's a double-packed whammy for you, ladies and gentlemen. First, we brought you the indomitable Vince Seymour talking about the ridiculous copious corruption of the New Zealand court system. And now we're going to bring you Evelyn Gilbert, who's just as fabulous and has just as terrible news for us, I'm sure. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Let's get excited. Now, what was your website there? Aotearoa, a wider perspective.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, well, give us a preface about yourself, Evelyn, just for the listeners who haven't heard of you.
I'm a researcher. I've been a New Zealand blogger for the last 5 years, and I blog about what I would call alternative news, which you don't see in the mainstream media. And as such, I research subjects that are being, let's just say, not published in mainstream media.
Okay, fair enough. Now, what's the mainstream media been up to recently?
Well, what they have not been up to is giving us the full information that we need about what's happening with the nuclear power plant in Japan, for example, which is a very interesting and very dangerous and something we should all know about, especially since we import a fair amount of stuff from Japan. Yesterday, India decided to stop all imports from Japan. And if India does, I think, well, New Zealand should consider the same.
Yeah, Toyota has said that they are warning now all importers that their cars may be radioactive.
Yeah.
But see, at least they're nice, you know, because Toyota are apparently not that evil.
No, but then they're not producing anything either because their factories are down, so maybe they have not a lot left to lose.
Mm-hmm. Apparently there's talk of reopening. You know how the Western world used to do an awful lot of manufacturing and we used to have some kind of wealth generation that happened and it wasn't all just service industry? Well, apparently, thanks to the Japan nuclear crisis, we may all experience an economic upturn as they have to export their factories back to where they were closed down to outsourcing.
That would be interesting. I don't know how much Japan produces in China or in Mexico, though. I mean, you know, but yeah.
Oh well, let's hope that all the rest of them get contaminated by radiation and they bring all the manufacturing here.
The entire Northern Hemisphere already is. They've just found radioactive particles in Russia, so that sort of closes the circle of the Northern Hemisphere, and it may be at this moment short-lived radioactivity such as iodine, which has a half-life of 8 days, which basically means that it's still radioactive for at least another 8 days and then another 8 days. That's been found now in Russia. So, yeah, that's just about
She's gone full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle, you know?
Yeah.
Contaminated the entire Northern Hemisphere, practically.
Well, they found nuclear radioactive milk in California. They found radioactive tap water in Idaho. I know that the country where I come from, Holland, has already found radioactive particles. And
anybody else out there feeling thirsty? Anybody else out there feeling like you've got a dry throat or something? Have a metallic taste in your mouth? That's the government not telling you that radiation levels are like 7.5 million times above normal. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we open, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My live you, so don't care about the color of your face. You like welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. It seems in a lot of ways that everything's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, the radiation crisis is, well, basically the worst kind of crisis you'd ever conceive of. Now, I would probably venture a guess that if the crisis is as bad as the alternative media is saying that it is, then the world's governments and the world government and world's media really, really would place on a very high priority list two things: the protection of their own personnel and the protection of the information of how bad it really is, so they don't panic, and so that they don't lose themselves in all the chaos and confusion. You know, that's basically it. I mean, how do you tell 60 million people they're doomed? You know, how do you tell people that everyone's going to drop dead of cancer sooner or later? It's a tough call, you know, but the alternative media is doing it anyway because it needs to be said. You know, very least put on the table. And even if the alternative media is wrong, which they're not, it's still a much better idea to inform people about possible risk rather than the other kind. Hold on one second here. I am kind of a little bit freaked out about the whole situation personally, okay? Because I know that a heck of a lot of incredibly dangerous things happen all the time, and it doesn't mean we have to really jump the gun and go all scared about it and such. But perhaps there's a method to that madness. Have you noticed that a whole bunch of people now are getting survival kits? You know? You think that's by accident? You think all these disasters all around the world are just suddenly going to stop one day? No. Everybody's kind of cottoned on to the fact that they really need to think about their own survival. And this is what we're entering into now, is this this age of survival, where it's the main priority again. And Evelyn joins us now, Evelyn Gilbert from Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
So we're talking about survival, and we're talking about this this big F-off radiation leak.
Yeah, that's another interesting subject. They had a bloody great big leak, and they were trying to plug I think, wood chips and diapers, and they have actually managed to stop it now with lots of concrete. But what they're not telling is that, of course, they're using about 50,000 tons of water per day to keep the cool, and that water has to go somewhere. And since the cooling systems are down, if only because the buildings have been blown up and the radiation, the spent fuel rod pools are destroyed, they have to do that with seawater, and that has to go somewhere. So it's not stopping them from actually having to dump water.
Well, sorry, Evelyn, you've kind of cut out there. We can't hear you. Evelyn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
How far did I get?
I don't think you got anywhere. You'll have to start again.
Okay, I'll just tell this again. Okay, they had this bloody great big leak. Where, you know,
they plugged it with wood chips and diapers, and they've managed to seal it with concrete. Then what?
Yes, exactly. But what they're not telling is that actually they're using about 50,000 tons of water per day. And since the pools that have to keep the spent fuel rods, 40 years worth of spent fuel rods, are destroyed, they have to use seawater and maybe sweet water, I don't know where from, because the pumps have gone down as well. And that water has to go somewhere, so that goes back into the sea.
That's nice, isn't it? And well, let's contaminate the whole ocean. Let's contaminate the whole of the Pacific Ocean, which is like the breadbasket of like the world and fish. Why don't we?
Exactly. And if you realize that Chernobyl, the one reactor meltdown in Chernobyl, was first of all a much smaller reactor. Second, had only one or two or maybe 4 years of nuclear spent rods. And we're now talking about 40 years of spent rods of at least four reactors just blown up into the sky and going into the sea. You're talking about a massive apocalypse.
The apocalypse is now, as the film would suggest. Now, the meaning of the word apocalypse means the revealing of great truth. And I was just talking with somebody about this today, Evelyn. And I said it was like the world is ruled basically by deception currently. And so my thought is that if apocalypse means revealing of great truth, then it means the end of everybody ruling the world via lies, right? It is their end, therefore, not ours. But maybe that's being a bit fanciful about it, because something tells me that this enormous crisis that is unfolding as we speak, and we've been through big crises. We've been through the Gulf oil Kano incident. we've been through the Erebus disaster. We've been through the Christchurch earthquake. And now this. It just seems like there'll be one huge cacophony of crisis after another. So it doesn't really matter, because that's human history in a nutshell. It's just a series of endless crises, you know? In fact, that's what a lot of people consider their lives to be, which is why they're so depressed, because they're nothing but a series of crises.
I know how that feels.
So, you know, when I look at this, sometimes now when I'm looking at this nuclear issue, I say, what else is new? We're all going to die? Fantastic. It's going to happen anyway.
The thing is, you don't just die. That would be fine. You know, life 1 minute, death the next. Fine. It is the slow motion death that is the worrying bit. It is the fact that people will get cancer, say, in 4 or 5 years' time. If you look at, say, Fallujah, where they shot tons of depleted uranium, depleted also being, being a sort of a euphemism for, you know, it is still uranium and it's still radioactive. And you will see that children, you know, people there ask the doctor, is it normal? Not is it a boy or a girl? No, is it normal? So that's where we're heading. Just to give you a bit of a depression here.
Well, you know, as far as depression is concerned, what about the economy and derivatives? Because, like I say, we're in the middle of a period of history where it's like the everything crisis, and the biggest part of this everything crisis, other than the nuclear radiation that's threatening to kill us all with cancer later on in the day, is the derivatives bubble. 1.4 quadrillion, in fact.
that's a good one. But you know, we don't have a problem in New Zealand, because we are going to be so rich. Every single citizen of New Zealand is going to be rolling in it.
How's that? If all our assets are being seized.
Well, you know, if they are right... And this was an interesting newspaper article that came out early March, and it said that they found $2,300 billion worth of mineable black sands before the west coast and Taranaki coast of the North Island. And if we all just, you know, just sat back and just let them mine that area, we would all basically be $2,300 billion richer.
Well, this was in the
That wouldn't be too bad, hey. Of course,
$2.3 trillion. Now, that's,
I always
that's
get
another thing. It's times 1,000, right? Like 100 turns into 1,000, 1,000 turns into 10,000, 10,000 into 100,000, 100,000.
Yeah, I think it's a million billion or something. It's nice videos online.
It's 1,000 billion. It's like 2,100 billion. So it's 2.1 trillion, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. So we're talking a ridiculous amount of money that would certainly subsist the small, pitiful nation of New Zealand. All of a sudden,
yes,
has access to the entire GDP of a nation like the United States. That's what we're talking about here. By proportion, it would make us like the friggin' Saudi Arabia of the South Pacific. You know, and if Exxon Mobil. If ExxonMobil gets their way, that's precisely what we'll be. In fact, we'll probably be the Gulf of Mexico or the South Pacific before long.
With all the deep sea drilling,
and all the oil company financed protest groups like Greenpeace going out there to oppose it. So it looks like, come on.
Well, people who want to look this up, it's billions in iron sand, and it came out on the 7th of March. In the Taranaki Daily News. And, of course, it was the Trans-Tasman Resources, which is a New Zealand-based company owned by overseas interests, that revealed this wonderful, wonderful loads of money. And so I really don't know why they worry about Christchurch. We can rebuild Christchurch a gazillion times. And
yep,
we could have healthcare until our dying day and then some. And so I don't know why they're making all these cuts, because we've got $2,300 billion money in the sea.
It's the same story as with Africa. You know, the multinational corporations under globalist control come in, prevent the country from harvesting their own resources and becoming independent and having their own manufacturing and their own wealth generation. They steal it all, take it offshore, and then prevent us from becoming independent so that we can be amalgamated into a world government because we're so weak. You know, that's the real agenda here. And look, our prime sinister, John Key, is absolutely integral to effing up this country. You know, he's the commander.
Did you know the former owner of the Waihi gold mine, Normandy Gold or Normandy Mining?
I've not heard about that, no.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, remember John's PR company, Cosby and Texter?
If anybody has a PR company, you can be guaranteed they're a dirty son of a BR.
Cosby and Texter is special. Cosby and Texter, you see, they've got a chair. They've got a board of directors. And the chair of their board of directors is a man called de Crispigny. And de Crispigny is the biggest mining honcho in Australia. And his company, Normandy Mining, was the owner of the gold mine in Waihi, which now is, thanks to this mining company, is sitting on a veritable deluge of polluted water in a tank, which probably one day will burst and pollute the entire area there. But he was the chairman of the PR company John Key called the day after he was appointed the leader of National and was going to be the prime minister. So the same guy, de Crispigny, was also on the board of directors of the Centre for International Studies, which is a think tank based in Sydney.
That's how they really get their jobs done, you know? I mean, other people would invade your country using tanks. These guys have thought about it a bit more and they just use a think tank to invade your country, you know?
Yeah, and guess who was also on the board of directors at the time? Ruth Richardson.
Why do I know that name?
Yeah.
Who
Ruth and Asia ring a bell?
Ruth and Asia?
Yeah. She was the lady. She was the lady responsible for one of the biggest cuts in the entire political history of New Zealand, called euthanasia by her opponents. And I wasn't living here, so yeah, at the time, but this is what happened. And she went on to bigger and better deeds and became a member of this wonderful think tank.
Well, I'm always shocked, but never surprised.
True.
Because you know what's funny, Evelyn, is that when you become aware of the global elite and the agenda and the new world order and the financial system and the health and all the ins and outs of everything, then you begin to assume that virtually everything that you see is the result of policy that's already been dreamed up overseas, brought over here, cut, pasted, manufactured in order to completely screw us, right? That's the assumption.
True.
Based on everything that happens. And you know what really, really ifs me off about that? Is the assumptions are always correct.
somebody made a remark about that. He said, I always think I'm cynical and then something happens and I get even more cynical. It's if you still believe... I think it was what Tomlin. Anyway, yeah. To believe that we are ruled by a benign government is dangerously naive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, dangerously naive. Downright stupid.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like a stupidity that people have actually come up like, hey, I've come up with my own brand of effing stupidity. No. We're talking about a broad spectrum of conditioning to produce... Absolutely. Said stupidity. We're talking about pharmacologically induced stupidity, psychologically induced, educationally induced, media induced.
And the other one, make everybody believe they actually belong to the ruling elite.
Make them feel like they're part of something so that they won't try and deviate and won't rock the boat, baby.
Exactly.
And then hopefully if you keep telling people don't rock the boat, it won't tip over. But at the moment...
Just as long as they're doing the tipping over.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is the boat's riding a tsunami at this point. She's coming in fast. And there's a big gorilla on top in the cargo hold too. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Evelyn Gilbert, and we'll be back to talk about more monsters, most of them operate out of the side of a beehive. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the National Party theme song. On the Vinny Eastwood Show. Speaking of keeping it gangster, we're going to talk about John Key, New Zealand's prime sinister and a terrible godfather. If ever your country had been inflicted with this kind of infectious wound from the loving bosom of the Federal Reserve and Merrill Lynch, and to expose this kind of wealthy, filthy trash, we have Evelyn Gilbert live from New Zealand. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. One thing with the Godfather, as portrayed with Marlon Brando, is that he was actually quite loyal, and I don't think John Key is. So that's for starters.
I don't know. I'd probably say he is loyal, but just loyal to Lucifer.
Loyal to his banking mates in Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah, well. I mean, he's what is he, a 32nd or 33rd degree Freemason? You know?
I've heard those rumors. I've heard them. I can't confirm nor deny them. But yeah,
He is a Freemason. He was photographed, and I believe it's even on his own website. Photographed with Freemasons New Zealand giving out Freemasonic scholarships to the new up and coming scum that they want to rule the country with.
Awesome! Can you send me that link?
Yeah, surely will. And also photographed at a Zionist meeting.
Well,
speaking
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and again, always shocked, never surprised, eh, Evelyn?
Exactly.
Now, some people would wonder, where the F did John Key come from? Had anybody even freaking heard of him before he became Prime Minister?
Not really, did they?
Not in New Zealand politics either. It's almost like he was plucked from a high position in a in an evil corporate-y type situation and then just placed neatly on the top of the National Party wedding cake and then had everybody in tears below him all of a sudden. What the hell happened?
Well, what is interesting about John Key and about where he came from was that at the time when he became a member of National, which is in 1998, he was also a member of a very small advisory committee to the Federal Reserve. That is the Foreign Exchange Committee. And you only get invited to that committee. And what is interesting is that in the committee group before him, his direct boss was a member of that group. And, you know, they don't have more than anywhere between 4 and 8 members of that committee. And together with his boss, a guy called Robert Rubin was a member of that same committee. Now, Robert Rubin was the Secretary of Finance for Clinton, if I remember correctly. He was, in any case, the guy who was responsible for the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. And that is a very important act because that enabled the bankers to go on their looting session that we are currently witnessing.
Yeah. And this is well documented in a new documentary film narrated by Matt Damon called Inside Job.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the revoking of Glass-Steagall means that basically you don't need any frickin' reserves, you don't need to have any rules, and you can use a ratings agency to give a bogus rating to some description of financial derivative which created on a computer out of absolutely nothing, which is worth billions upon trillions of dollars, out of thin effing air, literally to the point where they were gambling at 1,000 to 1 and calling $1 $1 million sort of thing.
And absolutely, it was actually, yeah.
The State Gaming Commission even tried to regulate them.
And added to that, has anybody, you know, this would be interesting because round about that time, all of a sudden, house prices all around the world started exploding, including New Zealand. People woke up and their house had doubled in value. You know, no matter the economic circumstances, all of a sudden the prices, you couldn't buy a house and 2 years later you sell it for double the price. It happened in Holland, where I used.
Yeah. But that's not because the house grow in value. It's because they doubled the amount of currency and half the value of everything that was in circulation. That's all it was.
Exactly. And also, what was important was that the Steagall Act was important in another way. You didn't, because until then, the investment bankers, i.e. the gamblers, and the commercial bankers, i.e. the banks that you and I visit when we go to our local corner bank and discuss loans that we need for businesses and stuff, they, until that time, had to be separated. Why? Because in the Great Depression, they were not separated. And they were the commercial banks were basically used to manipulate the whole banking system. And the Steagall Act repeal meant that investment bankers could buy commercial banks, tell them to give mortgages to Tom, Dick, and Harry, and never mind that they couldn't pay them back, and then they sold those mortgages on to, like, pension funds, people who needed reliable long-term investments so they could pay people like us pensions. So it was a great scam. It's collapsing now, of course.
It's a Ponzi scheme, the biggest in history. Enron and Tyco and all these huge corporate scams that have been uncovered in the United States pale in comparison to what is going on openly today.
Oh, what is so interesting is John Key said in an interview not so long ago, it was online, he said that when he was working for Merrill Lynch, he was working for a well-run and honest bank, and then when he left, all of a sudden the policies changed and they became scamming criminal bankers. Well, that's a load of bollocks. Because, of course, they were Enron's bank. At the same time, John Key was working there. In fact, three of their managers, had to go to jail because of their involvement in scamming the public with the Enron scandals.
But one of them skipped the country nicely and became prime minister.
I became the prime minister, exactly.
See, you know, what happens is, like, have you ever seen the movie Batman, The Dark Knight, you know, where the Joker in the start of the film, he sets up all the other people that are in on him with the scam and leaves them to die, right? And then he skips out with the loot. That's what happened.
That's what happened. And it's still going on. It's still going on. You know, the whole Thai currency crisis, that was the result of not just irresponsible, but willful gambling with the currency by the long-term credit management hedge fund, which, by the way, was banking with Merrill Lynch. At the time, John Key was a currency, the manager of the currency trading department, which is fully involved in developing derivatives, the same derivatives that are collapsing now, and he was managing director of that department. So I don't know where he got the honest business from, but his and mine idea about what is honest differ greatly.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, is he? Do we have evidence that John Key is directly involved in fraud? Because as far as I know, that's what a lot of congressmen are saying, is that Wall Street was openly engaging in fraud. And as a result, this derivatives bubble is kind of like a bathtub that's been full of water. Now, that water's become contaminated with all these derivatives, and everything else has become mixed in with it. The entire economy is now tied to this bubble, and when it bursts, the plug disappears, and the entire economy of the planet gets sucked down into the pipes, right? And guess who's gurgling more represents those pipes? We're talking about the globalist organizations like the UN, World Bank, IMF, who have their new currencies already in play. The Bancor will be released after the pretext of a global financial crisis, so that everybody will give up their own currencies in favor of a nice internationally regulated one by the same banking scum who caused the crisis in the first effing place. So they can amalgamate us into a freaking
Let me elaborate on that. Did he know he was partaking in fraud? I don't know, and I'm not going to say he did. Did he know that it was a system that would collapse eventually? Well, he was asked a question in, I think it was the Sunday Star Wellington newspaper, and he was asked, was the collapse or was the... It could also be the New Zealand Herald. I'd have to look it up. Was it predictable? Was it predictable that this would end bad? And he said, was it difficult to predict? No, not really. So what he's saying with that is that he actually knew that the system was unstable and unreliable and would end in pain. So was he involved in fraud? We don't know. A nice investigation into that would be very, very welcome. Did he know that it was an unstable system bound to collapse at some stage? Yes, he did. He said so himself. That's quote.
So he knew that the system was, you know, going to collapse, okay, and it was his job to promote that system which he knew that was going to collapse. Now, it therefore is quite obvious that somebody who knows what they're doing isn't going to work would also then know how much damage it would do to the economy, how much damage it would do to ordinary investors. But he kept doing it anyway, sold them out completely. And for what? What reward was he offered in exchange for his complicity? Perhaps the Prime Ministership of New Zealand?
Well, you know, what's this, the big investor, God, his name escapes me now. See, this is a senior moment, sorry about that, said, you know, of course, capitalism is an unstable system and it will end, but while it lasts, it's just so much fun. It's like Cinderella, you know, at midnight it all goes to pumpkins and mice. But while it lasts, it's so much fun. Of course, it's nice if you're at the top, and it's nice if you make loads of money. It's not so nice if you're the one who's being scammed out of whatever earnings you make in favor of people who are rich and will get all your money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people know that pyramid schemes are very dangerous, and they don't want to get involved with them because they've been exposed as frauds and things that eventually build up and then collapse and only benefit a few people at the top, right? But what people have kind of failed to recognize is that exact type of pyramid scheme is what the global economy actually is. Except
it's such
a large pyramid that you look at at one country's economy and it's like a single cinder block on an entire pyramid, and you can't tell the whole thing.
No, and what's interesting is because at some stage I lived in Europe and found that all the prices were going up there, and then I came to New Zealand and I thought, why are all the prices going up here of houses? There's absolutely no economic reason for prices going up here. Because, you know, the economy isn't growing that much, there's not a lot more people. So, you know, I come from a country where you had to wait between 10 and 15 years to get your own little flat. And we're talking third floor, surrounded, no garden, no nothing. So I'm talking about a country with every reason to have very, very expensive house prices. But here, it is just bizarre. It's unnecessary and it's a scam. And that is when it became very clear that the house prices worldwide were being manipulated.
Mm. Everything worldwide is manipulated, I'm starting to think, you know. And and that's the problem, is that when you act with that assumption, you don't even have to look for the evidence to prove your assumption. It comes to you.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know. At least the evildoers are making our jobs easier. You know, we don't have to go hunting for them to do corrupt stuff because there's just so much. It's more every day, every day. It's more and more and more and more. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It's unbelievable.
True.
I want to enjoy it, you know. I mean, like, I'm a big fan of disaster movies, right? Obviously. And what we're involved in here is the most well-written, well-thought-out, most emotional thrill-ride disaster movie of all time. Academy Award-winning, best director, best script, best special effects. And the, you know,
absolutely.
That's what it is. It's just, and it's so freaking entertaining. Like, oh, the tyranny. Oh, the tragedy. Isn't it just riveting viewing?
And of course, it's expensive.
And unfortunately, people in the general populace have begun to forget that they are the characters in this disaster movie. And they haven't read the script. They've only been given one page. They don't know where the plot line ends. But now we know, so we can change it if we choose to. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide because the New World Order will find you and it will exterminate you with extreme prejudice. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because as the world goes absolutely nuts and we face the extermination of mankind by a bunch of ruthless psychopaths, at least we can cackle about it a little bit. My very special guest is Evelyn Gilbert, live from New Zealand. Welcome back from break.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go on to the topic of our continue on with the Prime Minister John Key. What do you think the election campaign's going to pan out like? Because my thinking is With the Christchurch quake, as with every major disaster, whether it be 9/11 or Katrina or something, people turn to their leader and go, oh, goodness, please save us. And even if they don't save you, even if they F you, as I am led to believe the EQC is now currently doing to the people of Christchurch, they will vote for you in droves. So I think, you know, as long as the country keeps perpetuating the same disaster and vote for somebody to frickin' save me model, scumbags like John Key will keep getting elected. What do you think?
I'm afraid so. And it's amazing how, I mean, it's not amazing. It's not even surprising, of course, because, you know, the Labour Party is just the other head of the same dragon. It's how they're just not picking up on any leeway they could get in promoting their particular side of the politic, the world political. And, I think that it's a done deal, basically, unless we can expose them to a point where it's undeniable. But I've come to the conclusion that most people are in just really, really love being in denial. So that's a very hard task.
You know what, Evelyn? I think the solution is not to be concerned so much with the masses of people who are doing all the voting. It's indeed the small concerned minority that I choose to target. The Noam Chomsky called the political class is about 20% of people that openly engage in politics and have a level of intelligence and political will to accomplish things. It's that minority that I'm specifically wanting to reach out to with this show. The large herd majority of people, I mean, they may tune in from time to time and welcome. Thank you very much. You're joining a group of people who is really, really intelligent, loving, caring, and all-round awesome individuals that listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. That's my assumption, of course. Because I think that only somebody of that nature would be able to tolerate the stuff that I come up with on the show. You know, and it is a spirit that we kind of need to organize the already activated, you know, organize the activated, I think.
What's more, you know, I'm going even as far as just saying I'm just planting seeds. I if people want to engage, fine. And I can get really. Somebody called me spiky the other day on the standard .org.nz, which is a really one of the biggest blogs and well worth visiting, apart from my own, of course. Somebody called me a spiky character, but coming up with good information anyway. So I'm not going anywhere to be liked. You know, when people are asleep, I help and try and wake them, but I just plant the seeds and walk away again, because expectations of large awakened masses make me very depressed, because it never happens.
Yeah, and it has never ever happened, has it? Not on a grand scale, because what we're talking about here is a global revolution that needs to happen, and to organize 6 billion people is a monstrous.
Well, according to Brzezinski, the writer of The Grand Chess Game, well worth reading, if only to understand how disgusting his mind is. He said that there was never a mass awakening of the public, political mass awakening as there is happening now. So if he's scared of that, that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
And it's the sheep to the leaders, to the green grass, to defeat us. You know, it's like it's all a little bit sort of mixed up. You know, everybody's trying to fight in some way, shape or form. And me personally, I am constantly surprised at the huge amount of feedback and assistance that I receive from the various activists and truthers and community people that come on the show and send me links and all of this kind of jazz. So, you know, I'm very glad that people are starting to use me to further their own agendas, because that's what I want, is to further other people's agendas, because my agenda.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Because when I first started out as a blogger, and I started to, you know,
insert little bits of truth about 9/11 on the standard blog, they almost chucked me. They said they wanted to ban me, and people pointed out, "Hang on a minute, this is her truth." And if you are stopping people from commenting here, because of them speaking their truth, then I'm not going to visit this blog anymore either, because this is about freedom of speech. And so that was like 4 years ago, and I have to say that more and more people, even the actual posters on the Standard, are beginning to educate themselves, and I have to say that I get more and more support, and people are willing to partake in discussions without trolling, and yeah, I think there is progress like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a little bit every day keeps the New World Order away. Thank you very much, Evelyn, for coming on the show with us today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
It was pretty fabulous. All right. Thanks very much. What's your website again? Please fire it out for the listeners.
My website is called Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective, and that is with double A, Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective, WordPress.com. But if you Google Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective, my blog comes on first. So, welcome, and hope you like the information I give there.
All right, and I've certainly enjoyed this little interview as well. Archives will be available at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and you can listen to both Evelyn and Vince from today at the Kiwi Collaborators section underneath the radio show archives bar. So it'll be good listening. Certainly send the links around to your friends and family, because we definitely need to facilitate this global awakening before it gets shut down. We'll be right back tomorrow.